So last week, the glory of God filled the room. And when I say that his presence was here, it was so strong. I want to read you some scriptures so that you can know what we were experiencing last week. And this is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It starts in verse 13. It says, "For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." And that's what we experienced last week in a taste. Not to the degree that I wanted, because I think there's more, right? But on the other hand, I need you to know that what happened here, and we were in silence before God for a long period of time, and then God was speaking prophetically. It was so beautiful. But if you've never been in that before, I just felt, just take just a moment to explain to you what was happening, that God was here. In fact, you might not have noticed, but Bonnie and Lila could not move up here. The glory was so thick, they were like they couldn't move. And again, it's just a manifestation of the presence of God. He shows up, things happen. Amen? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. There's no two walls separating us today, so that might get loud. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I was asked one time, why do you Christians make such a big deal about the blood? And out of my spirit, I mean, it just came out of me really strong. I wasn't loud, but it was bold. I said, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Right? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. He's so good. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to read some verses today. I'm just going to introduce this and we'll carry it on in the next few weeks. And I've scheduled like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Last week was supposed to be the first. This is the second. But I have a feeling it might go a lot longer than what I'm planning on. Because we need to put this as a foundation of what we walk in. Did you know that as a Christian, everything that you believe, everything that God has promised you is based on the precious blood of Jesus. Let me say that again. Everything that you believe, every promise that he's given to you is based on the currency of the blood of Jesus. So is it a big deal? It's huge. It's huge. And sometimes, well, you know, the blood. No, the blood. I'm telling you, the blood. Look at verse 11. It says, "So Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but of his own blood, he entered into the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And for some who don't understand, on the Old Testament, the law was established and the customs were established so that if they sinned, then God presented a sacrificial system where they'd kill animals, drain the blood, and they'd use that blood to sanctify the sanctuary, ask for forgiveness, and all of that would come in. But watch this. Under the Old Testament, the blood only covered the sin. In the New Testament, we'll get into that a little more. The blood of Jesus is for the remission of our sins. Because of the blood of Jesus, you can come to Him, and you have a need to come to Him because your righteousness, your ability to be right before God, the Bible declares it as filthy rags before Him. In other words, we can't be good enough to be good enough to be with God. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But the blood of Jesus was the sacrificial lamb that paid the price for us to be able to come into the presence of God. And it's eternal. It was done once and for all. It's said in these verses that just like it was, the model was down here on the earth, Jesus went into heaven with His own blood and once and for all went through a sacrifice, the ritual of that sacrifice, so that it's done, it's complete, right? By His blood, you have been made right. We'll see that. Go to chapter 10 and verse 19. Chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. Let me read that again and just get this understanding. And picture yourself, right? If you pictured yourself right now and suddenly everything is gone around you and you're standing before the presence of an awesome, holy God. Oh, yeah. Watch this. And if you're still in your sins, you're in trouble. Right. But this says, because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter in boldly before His presence. Because we've been washed by the blood. Amen. And we're going to get into it, but we've been sprinkled by the blood. Everything that was necessary for us to have a relationship with God was done through the blood. Through His blood, through His blood, through His blood, through His blood. And we'll get into this, but back in the Old Testament, it says, and it's in Deuteronomy, it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And other translations say the life of the soul is in the blood. So when He gave His blood for us, it meant that He put His life down for our life. Right? But that we're also identified with that blood, which we'll see clearly in a few minutes. But go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. That's a good deal, Pastor. That sounds really good. But how do I enter into that? How do I get involved in that? How is the only way that I can come to that? In Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 24. It says, for being justified freely, I like that. Being justified freely, what does that mean? If think about the courtroom and there's a defense. You know, your defense is trying to argue for you, but the prosecution is coming at you and they're trying to put you in a position where you're going to be condemned. But your defense attorney gets up and he cites some precedents and the judge said, that's a just man. He's justified in the courtroom today. And this says, being freely justified. See, in the courtroom of heaven, because Jesus paid the price for us, we have been just freely justified by His grace. In other words, I love grace. What is grace? God gives us something because He wants to. He doesn't have to. He wants to. And watch this. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance. God passed over the sins that were previously committed. I want to break this down just a little bit. This is so good. It says, set forth as a propitiation. Now, we don't use that word a lot. I haven't used that word in a sentence in my everyday life ever. I've said it here because I'm in church and I'm reading out of the Bible, but propitiation, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. It's the act of appeasing wrath and conciliation, the favor of the offended person. Let me say that again. It's the act of appeasing wrath and it's the conciliation of the favor of the offended person. Husbands, don't you wish that sometimes, can you forgive me, would be enough propitiation, you know, to get out of the wrath and bring you back into good favor? The problem is that sometimes we say we're asked for forgiveness because we got caught. Hello. Rather than what we've done to their hearts. Right? But listen, what's a propitiation? Propitiation is the thing that appeases the wrath and then brings us close to Him. Look at 1 John 2:2. And He Himself, talk about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. For it's not of ourselves only, but for the whole world.
Yes, amen. Lord.
What am I saying? I'm saying that the blood of Jesus was the appeasement for all of the sin that would brought the wrath of God onto us, but not just to us, to the whole world.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To the whole world. Well, then is everybody saved? No. Is everybody saved? No. Right up here. Is everybody saved? No. How does a person enter into this transaction where Jesus' blood can be applied to your heart? In Romans, again, it says that our entrance into it is by our faith. And what does that mean? Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that I need a Messiah. I believe that Jesus is the one who shed His blood for my sins. But not just that. I believe that when He shed His blood for my sins and I accepted Him as my Savior, He cleansed me from the wrath that was associated with my sin. And not only that, God, He gave me favor to be able to talk with, walk with, experience God. I am a friend of God because Jesus made the way where I could be. And it's His precious, precious blood. His precious blood. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And verse 28. Hallelujah. this is Jesus. This is in the Last Supper. This is what we do at communion every time. Listen to this. Jesus is talking. And these statements freaked people out, the religious people out. Because Jesus made statements like, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. If I came up to you today, you didn't know me from Adam, or you know, maybe you'd heard me preach a few times and say, listen, guys, I want to tell you something. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in my church. Think about that for a minute. Put yourself in that position. You go, huh? If I was you, I'd be out of here, right? But watch this. And that's where they were. That's where the Jewish people who were around him, who had been looking for him to come, that's where they were. Now watch this. Here he is at the covenant meal, the meal that he's about to die, about to go to the cross, about to do all these things. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, the remission of sins. Back in 1 John, we read where it said that it was for the whole world, but here it says for many. Why? Because not all will believe. But all those who believe, remission of sins is available.
Hallelujah.
Now again, I said remission isn't just covering it over. Remission is taking it out of the way so that it no longer exists in the sight of God and in the courtroom of heaven. So those sins that you committed 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even yesterday, if you've asked for forgiveness, the only reason that you're under condemnation for it is because you don't believe in the power of the blood. When you remember, when you understand the power that's in the blood of Jesus, come on. Come on. All of those sins are gone. Everyone in us, I'll just say it this way. It might not be politically correct, but I'll just say it this way. Everyone in here is a screw up. Can I make it plain enough? Everyone in here, just ask your neighbor. Right? Everyone in us here has screwed up a time or two. We know that the person next to us has screwed up more than we, but every one of us has made a mistake. But Jesus' life was perfect. He is called the spotless Lamb of God. It means there wasn't one sinful thing in him. But he said, this is the cup of my blood. And remember, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul is in the blood. And he said, it's shed for many for the remission of sins. There's many other verses that I was going to get to in this, and I'll get to them next week. But I have to get to Dylan's story to emphasize this. Dylan was a young man of his grandpa is a pretty famous preacher, and Dylan contracted leukemia. And leukemia is the cancer in the blood, and so it goes everywhere. And so Dylan went through 2 years of radiation, and he was just a small boy. Radiation, and then chemotherapy, and then more radiation. And you know what that does to a person, right? Destroys them. So they're like 2.5 years into it. They're a week away from ringing the bell. And those that haven't dealt with cancer in that world, that means that remission can be called secure. 1 week away. And so his parents and his grandparents went to the meeting for Dylan at the doctor's office. And the doctor said, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but we found traces of the leukemia. and he's going to need a bone marrow transplant. It's our only hope that he's going to get a bone marrow transplant. So we have to look for a donor. And so, of course, they searched the immediate family, and two of his brothers were matches. And the family decided on Gavin, the older brother, to be the donor. Watch this. Because, and in that meeting where they're talking, but doctor, I thought you said there was remission. And the doctor said, there's two kinds of remission. There's the remission that kind of covers and you know, cleanses the blood. But it's not at the molecular level. The second time of remission is at the molecular level. And at the molecular level, when there's remission, there is no more. It doesn't exist anymore. Now watch this. Watch this. It's so good. So here's Gavin, which he's not really excited about being a bone marrow transplant, you know, volunteer, but he was voluntold, but when they explained to him, listen, Gavin, you're going to be able to save Dylan's life. Right. Now watch this. So they're going through the procedure and they're, you know, they've got Dylan in isolation and Gavin in isolation so that there's no contamination, whatever. And they drew Gavin's blood, and then it's time to infuse it into Dylan for this bone marrow transplant. And so they hang the blood up on the pole, on the IV pole. Grandparents are standing on the outside looking in, and they see the pole. It looks like a cross. And the nurses and everything else are saying, that blood, because it's been strained, it's everything, that's precious blood. So watch this. Gavin's precious blood was going to go into Dylan. Now watch. This is so amazing. The doctor came in to see Dylan before they started the IV. And he said, Dylan, I've come here to say goodbye to you. Huh? Because when this happens, you will not exist as you did before. Because you will now have, come on, you will now have Gavin's DNA. In fact, you better take good care of Gavin, because if he commits a crime and leaves his DNA at the crime scene, you could be charged with the crime. And so they went through, and there's a waiting process, you know. So when they first get it through, and the day or two later, they take the sample, and there's still a little bit. I mean, there's... Dylan and Gavin, they can see both of them. But after 3 or 4 months, it's all Gavin in Dylan's blood. It's all Gavin. And what's really interesting is this: when this happens, awesome. When this happens, this is a great mom's day. Right up here, Charlie, right up here. Move over. Right. Watch this. This is so cool. Watch this. So after a few months, it's all Gavin. And here's the result. Dylan's likes began to change. Dylan began to like what Gavin liked. Your hair color can change. Your eye color can change. A lot of things can change because of that DNA in the absolute bone marrow that's transferred from one to another. Thank you. Yeah. So watch this. Dylan became Gavin. In fact, they started referring to them, the family, as twins. Dylan and Gavin were inseparable from that point on. Inseparable. And before, they were just normal brothers, right? They did what brothers do. Bite, chew, jump, hit, you know. But watch this. Why did I bring Dylan up? Because Jesus said that my blood is going to be shed for many to the remission of your sins. Right? So when that blood exchange happened by you, by faith in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything changed. Your spiritual DNA changed. You are no longer the same person that you were. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Someone who never existed before has now come and been made new. Because of the blood transfusion that happened by faith, you need to now take on His character. You now can love as He loves. You can now be led by His Spirit just as He was led by the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of the blood of Jesus, my sins have been remitted, but not just remitted to the point where they could be brought up again. Come on, it could happen again. You know, you go a few years and all of a sudden that cancer is going to show up again. No. Under the blood of Jesus and the faith that you have in that blood, watch this, that sin is no longer gone. And in this series, we're talking about pleading the blood. And I'm going to close with this. Pleading the blood. And what does that mean? Really, what it's talking about is declaring the blood over your situation. In a court case, if, you know, you're standing before the judge and they want you to testify and you say, I plead the fifth. They cannot force you to answer the questions because you have the right under the Constitution not to incriminate yourself. I plead the fifth. When the devil comes to you and tells you how unworthy you are because of the life that you lived at one point, you can say, Mr. Devil, I want to tell you right now, I'm pleading the blood. I'll say it over here because I want a little bit better reaction. Listen, Mr. Devil, when you come at me with my past, I'm going to remind you and plead the blood of Jesus over my past because He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my situation. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my past. I'm pleading the blood. Now watch this. This is so awesome. The enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Right? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. This world is set up because He's the God of this world to kill from you. To steal from you. To lie to you. Right? And that comes in many different forms. We've all gone through stuff. Everybody in this room has gone through stuff. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus can lift you out of the stuff into freedom that comes by your relationship with Him. What does that mean? That means that, you know, abuse can be healed. That means addictions can be broken. Come on, that means that relationships that are torn can be restored, right? Because the blood of Jesus that we received by faith when we asked Him to be our Lord and Savior has brought us to the place of remission of sins, and the blood of Jesus is registered in three places, probably many more, but three places primarily. One is in heaven because that's where it was dedicated and offered as holy. The other is in hell because the blood of Jesus has defeated the enemy where we're concerned. And the other place is in our hearts. And when we line the three of those up, nothing can steal our joy. Amen. Talking about the blood, talking about the blood, talking about the blood. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The blood of Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about how to sling some blood. And I'll explain that there. But how to sling some blood over your circumstances and get those circumstances to change. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for your blood. I thank you that everyone in this room and everybody that's watching online, we're all in the same condition. We have a need of you, Jesus. There's things in our lives that are not right. There's things in our lives that just aren't the way they need to be. And the only thing that can fix them is Jesus. I remember the day, Lord, when I decided that I was not in charge of me anymore because I looked at my life and I wasn't doing such a great job. But then you came to me and I looked to you and you took over. I made you the Lord, the master of my life. And I received your forgiveness, but not just your forgiveness, the remission of my sins. I remember that day, Lord, when you made me holy. And all of these 50 years since then, I've been walking it out. But I thank you this morning that every one of us in this room are in need of you. In need of you. Even more than we understand. The enemy tries to lie to us and say we don't need the presence of God. We're doing just fine. But that's such a lie. But this morning, Jesus is here in the room. The Holy Spirit is available and speaking to our hearts this morning. And if there's anybody in the room, or if there's anybody watching online that needs to drink of his blood. That's symbolic of you just turning your life over to him. And I mean seriously giving up all control over your life. He'll meet you here this morning. He'll meet you online. He'll meet you as you reach out to him. We have to let go of our pride. That's where we walk in humility, Lord. I am only holy because you made me holy. I'm not holy because of me. But I just receive you right now in Jesus' name. I want that blood applied by faith. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me, to cleanse me of my sin, to take away the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of my past, God. This isn't working for me, God. I need change. I need help. I need deliverance. I need to be set free. I need that heart to be healed. Jesus, I'm here. I'm a candidate. I need a blood transfusion this morning. If you're here and that applies to you, we're going to pray in just a minute. And all you have to do, the Bible says, here's the whole key for faith. Is believe this in your heart, and when you say it with your mouth, it will be established in you. So I'd like us all to pray this together this morning. Just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you just like I am. Lord, I'm not perfect. I know my faults. I come before you in need of a transfusion. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart, to cleanse me of my sin, to free me from my bondage. I give you my life this morning, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, based on the name of Jesus and faith in the blood of Jesus. You have cleansed me because you want to. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, if that really spoke to your heart, don't leave without telling somebody, because we'll all rejoice with you. We're going to have the worship team come up, and we'll dismiss with song. If you need prayer for anything today, come on up here, and we'll pray for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.